Father, we just thank you so much right now for revelation knowledge flowing. Lord, we do need the information. We do need information to help us grow. But beyond that, Lord, we want to go to where there's a revelation, an impartation, so it's not just head knowledge. It's engrafted into our very being. Would everyone say this out loud? Holy Spirit, I open my heart to your teaching ministry. Deposit in my life the eternal word of God. Move me up to higher ground in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, Ephesians 3, and I want to go to this classic verse, verse 20. This is our theme verse for our study. Expectancy, the atmosphere of faith. What are we saying? I am suggesting to you this, and I believe it's absolutely true, that if you will wake up every day expecting miracles, if you will attempt to live in a state of watching, looking for the hand of God in your life, you will become an absolute miracle magnet. Look at somebody and say, you're a miracle magnet. Say it out loud. Well, you can be a money magnet. You can be a miracle magnet. You can attract positive things to you. The opposite of that is true also. If you wake up every day with your thought on the worldly things, your thought, I can't do this, well, I better not get my hopes up, you're going to repel what God would have for you. Verse 20, look at this. Now unto him that's able. Everybody say he's able. Now, you can read in that. That's no guarantee. He's able, but you're going to have to get hold of this and for the ability to flow. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above. Exceeding abundantly above. Get hold of this, folks, in the Spirit. Get hold of this. Don't just read this. Don't just sit there and say, well, I've read that verse before. Well, I'm glad you've read it before. Get hold of it. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now in the beginning, when Adam and Eve were created, there was no breach or separation between God's Spirit and their mind. Follow me. They were in harmony, absolute harmony, with the creative ability of God before the fall. And so they walked in the garden in total union and communion with the voice of God, and their destiny was to rule and reign, to develop that garden, cultivate that garden, actually expand that garden and the gold and the elements that were there until the entire earth became a paradise. So that paradise was not to remain localized. We can begin to gather an idea of this from all of Scripture. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end, which is very interesting in light of eternity. You wonder what eternity is going to be like? I really don't know, but it's not just going to be sitting there eating gumdrops on puffy clouds. Amen. We're going to be expanding the government of God throughout the universe. It's exciting. It's going to make Star Wars and Star Trek look like Mickey Mouse. We'll have resurrected bodies. We'll be popping here, popping there, doing the bidding of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But in the beginning, when they thought the thoughts of God. They never thought failure. They never thought poverty. They never thought like that. They thought the thoughts of God. They thought abundance. They thought dominion. They thought like that. Now, when they sinned, they died from the inside out. See, their body didn't immediately lay down and die. But yet death took root instantly. When they bowed their knee, as it were, to Satan, they died on the inside. Part of that death, hear me now, the spirit man died unto God, not dead in the sense that it was no longer sensitive to the spirit world, but unto God. And also, there was a pulling apart of their mind and its hookup with God's Spirit. So their thoughts began to think apart from God. It was downhill after this. Their thoughts began to think independently. Their choices began to be made independently. Their decisions began independently of God. And this was the beginning, if you will, of the decline of mankind. But that's not the end of the story. Somebody say, thank God for Jesus. Somebody say, thank God for Jesus. When you have faith in Christ, I don't care how it happens, if you walk the aisle, pray the sinner's prayer, pray with an evangelist on television, or slip beside your bed to your knees, the moment you have faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches, the Holy Spirit now takes up residence within you, seals you unto the day of redemption. And watch this. You are now in part hooked back up to God. I said in part. Your spirit man is instantly joined, but your mind must go through a transformation where you learn how to join your thoughts with the mind of Christ or the thoughts of God. Did you know you can be saved and still be independent and rebellious? Are you there? You can be saved and selfish. I said you can be saved and selfish. You can be saved and stingy. Look at your neighbor and say, that better not be you. You know, church folks are famous for picking on other folks. Well, you know, he smokes. You think he's going to go to hell? Well, let me just ask you this. Can you gossip and go to heaven, Mr. Church Person? Lord have mercy. I've gone from teaching to preaching now. See? Now, I don't like the smell of either one of them. Oh, yes, 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 yes. There's a stench that's worse than the smell of cigarette smoke. And it's the smell of talebearers and gossipers who strut themselves as fine church folks. That stinketh in the nostrils of God. That's King James for it stunk. Now, we're saved. The Spirit of God comes back in. And He is desiring, He is endeavoring for us to think the thoughts of God. Make the choices of God. Verse 20 will only go into operation. Hear me. Verse 20 will only go into operation when you have sincerely submitted yourself to the will of God, whatever that might be. And so you say, God, I'm your man, I'm your woman, whatever it is. You want me to pastor, I'll pastor. You want me to evangelize, I'll evangelize. Maybe you've been thinking this way, maybe you've been desiring that way, and God says, no, I got something higher than you've ever even thought of. And as you submit to what God has for you, then His ability can go into operation. Because God is not obligated to back up your flesh. God will back up His Word and His Spirit. Let me read this to you from the Amplified. Look at verse 20 again, but I'd like to just share it from the Amplified version. I did not share this morning from the Amplified. Verse 20. Now to Him who, by, in consequence of, the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Isn't that amazing? Mr. Businessman, God can go far beyond what you thought your business could go. Pastor, God can go beyond what it seems like in the natural. Mr. Missionary, God can go far beyond just what you think. You got to start dreaming with God. But it takes expectancy. Now, go with me to Proverbs 8. Are you getting anything out of this? Proverbs 8. I hate to even admit this, but I'm going to admit this. Y'all ever look back and see how small-minded you were? No, y'all are all just righteous and pretty well together, aren't you? Big dreamers. Proverbs 8. Find your way to Proverbs 8. I look back. This is true. When I first started in the ministry, actually it's beyond 20 years now, but we started a little community. And on one of our journeys, one of our weekend trips, probably for some youth ministry, we stayed in the home of a guy who was a pilot. And he had him and people that own these, I'm not putting them down, okay, but this would not work for a traveling ministry. He owned a 1950 vintage fabric covered. That means the wings and the fuselage are made of fabric. A little four-seater called a Piper Tri-Pacer. The thing's ugly. I mean, it just looks ugly. I don't know how to put it. It's just Tri-Pacers are ugly. But they were very good airplanes in their day and time. He took me around the pattern in that, and my stepfather had been a pilot and owned a pretty hot Bonanza, something called a Bonanza. It's like a screaming machine. And so I thought, man, if I could just maybe save enough money to own one of these Tri-Pacers. Now, that's how big Jason Peebles thought. That's pitiful. God's man of faith and power going around in a fabric-covered thing that can haul about 2.5 people. Had 4 seats in it, but it couldn't pick up 4 people. I thought, well, you know, I have to leave Martha behind so I could take some tapes. Oh, that's bad thinking. My God. Put the briefcase in the back. Had to be a very brief briefcase. And you know there's people that think like that. Well, I don't know what a preacher needs. Now I'm flying. You know, this is so far beyond whatever dream. Now I'm flying an 8-passenger pressurized twin-engine airplane. Y'all are going to get tired of me talking about this miracle. As soon as this other one's happened, I'll be talking about that one for about 5 years. And I go out there and I look at that airplane, and that is so far beyond what in the natural I thought we could ever do. Are you hearing me? Beyond that, there's a jet. I got my faith out for a Citation jet. I'm on a Citation jet. Why? It's about twice as fast as what I got. So instead of 40 minutes, I can get over here in 20 minutes. Bother y'all some more. Hallelujah. I could come once a week, Pastor. But y'all look back on that, and we're like that sometimes. You know, if I could just ever buy that little moped. Moped faith for Jesus. And again, I'm not trying to make light of any of these things, but we think small. We need to start thinking bigger. But it's going to take you developing the art of expectancy. Expectancy means you are expecting something. You're anticipating something. You are earnestly looking for something. Just like the lady who's carrying a child, she is expecting. There's a due date. Everybody say the due date. You know, it's not just like, well, how long have you been expecting? Oh, about 4 or 5 years. That's a big child in there. Had to cut you open to get that baby. Hallelujah. No, there's a due date. Proverbs 8. Now, I want you to see this element of expectancy. What I want to do tonight is march you through some passages that talk about the element of expectancy and how powerful this is to make you a miracle magnet so that faith can begin to operate above what you could ask or think. Go to the end of the chapter. Proverbs 8. Let's go to verse 34. It says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me." Now, who's the me here? Me is wisdom. And wisdom, all through Proverbs, is personified or typified as a woman. In fact, there are two main women in the book of Proverbs. You say, well, why did he choose the woman? Well, we don't have time to go back to chapter 1, but the king was teaching his son the wisdom of God. So watch this. The king is talking, as I would talk to my son, or as Pastor Mike would talk to Chris, talk to a son, and he's warning him about the wrong kind of woman, and he's advising him to go for the good woman, a woman like Heather. Hallelujah. But in the spirit, there's two women, if you will. There's the carnal way of man, and there's the wisdom of God. Are you getting this? In Proverbs, there's the fine woman of God with riches and honor in one hand and life in the other, the blessings of God. There's also a harlot we're not going to read about, but there's a harlot in the book of Proverbs that he says, don't go the way of the harlot. And so there's a natural application where harlot literally means harlot, but it also has a spiritual connotation to it. And we're reading about this. And look what he says to do here in verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, talk about wisdom. Ooh, circle this. Watching how often? Watching daily. Everybody say watching daily. Now, folks, that's expectancy. That's anticipation. That's not just casual, well, you know, wisdom knows where I live, and if wisdom wants to find me, wisdom can track me down. No, you're watching daily at the gates where wisdom lives, waiting at the post of my doors. And what will you find when you get hold of wisdom? Well, a fine woman has this. Look at verse 35. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain, underline this, the favor of the Lord. How many of you want some life? God's life. How many of you want the favor of God? How many of you want just the breaks, the doors opening up, the right opportunities coming along? Well, you got to have wisdom. Verse 36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Can I just give you the Jason Peebles vernacular of that? You shoot yourself in the foot. Quit blaming God. Well, I wonder why this happened to me. Well, you weren't hanging around where you're supposed to hang around, Jack. You were not at the gates of wisdom. You were over there down at the wrong place. Now let's think back. For some of you, it'll have to stir up some unused memory banks. Some of us are not that far removed. But think back when you were a teenager and you liked a certain person. Come on, guys, there was a certain girl that you were trying to catch her eye. Maybe some of you ladies, there was a certain guy you were trying to catch his eye. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. I'll cast those lying devils right out of you. And you know, when you're in high school, you position yourself in the hall, don't you? Because you know they pass that way periodically. But the art of this is to position yourself properly, but not appear desperate. to appear cool, calm, and collected. But you position yourself appropriately where this person periodically passes by. And then as they pass by, you try your best, casually, mind you, to catch their eye or to give them a little cool wave and hope that they will respond in kind, where it's just like, we just happened to run in to one another. Honey, you didn't just happen to run in. You planted yourself there and you positioned yourself to meet the person. Now let's apply this to the Spirit. Wisdom. You know there's a place for wisdom. And you found it tonight. You're in the house of God tonight. You could have been at home watching one of them fine series on TV. The world premiere, never before seen on television. But you chose to be here. Where is wisdom to be found? In God's Word. And Brother Jason, I just don't know why these things have happened to me. I don't know why I haven't really been able to hear God like I want to. I'll tell you why. Because you're down there at the bar. You're down there at the girly place. And wisdom ain't down there. The wrong kind of woman's down there. And you wonder why you can't hear God. Hello. Quit blaming God. You haven't positioned yourself. I remember at Oral Roberts University when I had just casually seen Martha on the campus, I positioned myself for a miracle. And I knew that certain times she'd walk through the prayer garden. Pastor Mike, you know where the prayer garden is, right beneath the prayer tower. Well, I was there praying for a miracle. I was praying I'd meet this woman. I had invented a club called the CIA Club. Celibates in Action. We'd be like the Apostle Paul. Never look at a woman and never date. Hallelujah. Until I saw Martha Webster. That's when I turned in my card. And when she walked by, I just gave her that cool look. And lo and behold, she gave me a cool look back. And after that, it was possess and conquer. Do I have to teach you everything? There's a time to believe for the miracle, then there's a time to go to work and reach out and get the miracle. Hallelujah. And 23 years since then, here we are married. Praise God. And I still chase her, and every once in a while she lets me catch her. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to see this. Go back to chapter 8. We're talking about getting in position, expectancy, faith. I want you just to see this. Look at verse 1. Follow me now. I'm going to go rather quickly. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? Everybody say the voice. See, God wants to speak to you, folks. Look at verse 18. Follow me. Well, let's go to verse 17. I love them that what? This is wisdom basically talking. Those that seek me. Underline this. You got to seek wisdom. Shall find me. Poverty is with me. Is that what your version says? Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. Verse 18. Everybody say riches and honor. Woo, hallelujah. Riches and honor are with me. With me who? With wisdom. Well, let's put a definition of wisdom. Let me just have you write this down. What is wisdom? We could put many definitions to it, but here's a real simple one, just to get us on the same page, so to speak. Write this down. Wisdom equals doing it God's way. I think that's pretty simple. Wisdom equals doing it God's way. So, when I approach a situation, what does God want me to do? What does the Word say I should do? It's not what Jason wants or what Billy Bob over here thinks. What does God's Word tell me to do? Beyond that, what is the voice of God telling me to do? If I go that way, then it says riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. So it's not just the natural, it's things that are beyond the natural. Spiritual wealth is with me. Look at verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness. He'll lead you, or wisdom will lead you, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their, what? Treasures. That sounds pretty good. How many of you think, and you got to flip it around, if you're a woman, then let's personify wisdom as a man. But how many of you would want to find a woman like that, guys? See, some of you are afraid to shake your head because you're married, you know. I got you in trouble, didn't I? You did. That's a good way to answer that. You did. All right, go with me to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. That's toward the end of the Old Testament. Let me help you out. Next door to Nahum. Well, let me help you some more. Just before Zephaniah. Oh, let me help you again. Close to Haggai. Habakkuk chapter 3. Do you see the element of expectancy there? Watching daily at my gates. Expectancy. You know, this project that we've been involved in, I cannot tell you the air of expectancy that's in me. I woke up from the nap this afternoon. I lay down for about an hour. And I woke up and I'm just clothed with this expectancy for miracles. I do think part of it is a gift of faith. It's beyond just my normal developed faith. That's why I prayed this morning for that impartation. Those of you that are here this morning, I pray for the impartation of the gift of faith and the working of miracles into your life. Because it's operating in my life. And I say that totally submitted to God. It's not me, it's God. But yet it is working in me. I believe that. And I'm just so aware that this expectancy creates the right climate or atmosphere for faith to go to work. Yesterday, I'll tell you, when I took off from Atlanta and flew over here, in fact, I left earlier than I anticipated because storms were building in the Atlanta area. I don't think you had any storms over here yesterday, did you? But in the Atlanta area, storms were building, and I didn't want to get trapped or stuck in Atlanta. So I took off and had to kind of wiggle my way around storms. Why? There was more humidity there, the temperature was right, etc. The climate was conducive for certain things to develop. If you get hold of this in the spirit, you can control the climate in your life and around your affairs that will be conducive for the lightning power of God to begin to crack, and you can see things happen in your life. Expectancy creates the atmosphere of faith. Now, Habakkuk, he was a prophet who lived in a very difficult time. Go to chapter 3, verse 17. Nothing, basically, is going his way. Anybody ever had a day like that? Anybody in a season like that now where some challenges are coming at you? See, it's really easy to be expecting miracles when miracles are happening. How about when there's no fruit on the vine? How about when the business account is on zero or below zero? How about when things aren't going your way? Can you have it then? Look at verse 17. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither fruit be in the vines. See, that's not good news if you're trying to raise fruit on the vines. Though the labor of the olive fail and the fields yield no meat, though the flocks be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. Have you ever had a time like that in your life where you had some stalls but there was no herd in the stalls? Now, when you don't have a herd in the stalls, you got clean stalls. Are you there? When you got herds in the stalls, you're going to have to clean up some mess. Am I preaching to myself or is anybody here? See, some people like everything neat and in order and there's no mess. Well, there's nothing there. But if your business starts popping and things start happening, you're going to have a little mess to clean up. I'd rather have some mess to clean up because I know something's happening. I hate to be crude, but that's just exactly the picture he's painting here. You got some herds, you're going to have some things to take care of. That's a whole lot better than having anything neat and in order, nothing to take care of. Verse 18, hallelujah for yet. He says yet. Everybody say yet.
Yet.
Everybody say yet.
Yet.
In other words, can I just paraphrase that? In spite of, in the face of, in the face of all this adversity and nothing happening, here's my attitude. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. See, some people know about how to rejoice in miracles, don't they? Nothing wrong with rejoicing in a miracle. But some people only rejoice when there's a miracle. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, that's a faith statement. Because he's not using the word salvation in the sense we use it, meaning walk the aisle, pray the sinner's prayer. The prophet is saying he's the God of my deliverance. He will deliver me out of this. He will deliver the nation out of this. I believe God's bigger than an apostate nation that's backslidden. I believe my faith is that God is going to turn this around. That's expectancy. I see in the face of tremendous national adversity a prophet standing there with expectancy in his heart that things are going to be okay. Everybody say it's going to be all right. Everybody say it's going to be all right. Look at somebody and say it prophetically. Don't just say it giggling. I want you to say it's going to be all right. Say it to them. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, I had an experience with the Lord. I had an experience with the Lord. Don't have time to detail it all out. But just the other day, I fasted, and I'm not saying that to brag. It was not a long fast. I fasted two meals is all I fasted. I fasted breakfast and lunch, and then I ate dinner. But before I broke the fast and had dinner that night, the Lord took me just personally, prophetically. He took me to the book of Ruth. He said, read the book of Ruth. I read the book of Ruth. It became alive for me in my situation. It would not apply to you if I were to share it. It's very personal what he shared with me. And I just started laughing. I just started laughing. And I'm the guy that's been a little skeptical of the laughers. I just was laid on my bed laughing. That's what am I laughing about? And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, said, you're just laughing in the face of adversity. And it was like I came out of my body. I did not come out of my body, but it was as if I stepped back and saw me laying on the bed laughing, and I knew that's not Jason laughing, that's the Holy Ghost laughing through Jason in the face of this project. And I started giggling. I went from the laugh. I'm going to start a new movement called the Giggle Movement. This is beyond laughing, folks. I'm going to go beyond that. I'm going where no man has gone before. I started giggling. And suddenly I could see from God's perspective, it was so small. What I'm facing is so small compared to the magnificent God that I serve. It is funny. And I just laid there and giggled. Had a big time. Then I got up and had me a meal. I just enjoyed that meal. And God spoke to me. I had a breakthrough. My eyes shall behold the breakthrough in the natural because I have seen the breakthrough in the spirit. Hear me now. My eyes shall behold the breakthrough in the natural because I have had already, past tense, the breakthrough in the spirit. Verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will join the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Now notice he starts talking about the future here. The Lord God is my strength. He will. Everybody say he will.
He will.
He didn't say he might. Didn't even say he has. Past tense. He will. He shall. He will make my feet like hinds feet. And he will make me to walk upon my high places. And he was so excited about it, he said, man, this is a good one. Give it over to the chief singer. Put it to music. Put it to music. I want to read this to you. I've just gotten to where anymore I start comparing things with the Amplified. Let me read verse 19 to you from the Amplified. Follow me, verse 19, but listen as I read from the Amplified. The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds feet. And he will make me to walk, not stand still in terror, but to walk, and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. Remember I talked to you this morning about the lightning rods of God's power? What attracts the power of God? Problems, challenges. That becomes the lightning rod for God's power. Mark chapter 5. You learning something? Well, he said in Proverbs, watching daily. Now we've just read the prophet Habakkuk, and we could just go to endless places through the scripture. We went through a lot of them this morning. But we've just seen where a prophet said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Mark chapter 5. Another classic story. We've read this. Most of us have. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? Remember that story? Now Jesus is about to get interrupted. Have you ever been on your way to do something and you get interrupted? You better be sensitive. A miracle might be in the making. Jesus is on his way to do a miracle. Do you believe that Jesus can get overloaded? Do you believe Jesus ever just has a bad day? It's like, I can't take any more. No more prayer requests today. Jesus is on his way basically to heal this guy's daughter. And in the middle of that, this woman presses through the crowd and gets a little bit of the healing virtue before he gets to the other one he was going to. Notice Jesus didn't say, can't help you right now. Just got so much on my way for this guy's daughter. Here come, and he really didn't even know the woman was there unless it had been by revelation of the Spirit. Go to verse 25. Again, expectancy is the atmosphere of what? Miracles? Faith. Verse 25, and a certain woman, notice we don't even know her name. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better but grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, please circle this, came. Please circle the word came. Notice she positioned herself, watching daily at my gates, being in the right place. Listen to me. You need to be in the right place to get hold of what I'm talking about. I just look back in my life. I just thank God I went to Oral Roberts University. I was actually at a state school for 2 years. I was at a state school. How did I get to the state school? I asked my girlfriend, where are you going? I hate to admit it, I did this. Now I was a Christian. But I wasn't very taught and very committed and very submitted. I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to go to Georgia Southern. I said, get 2 applications. Didn't even occur to me to pray. Is that bad or what? I know that y'all are pretty well sanctified and you're almost arrived. But try to think how it was before your present level of perfection. Got down there and she dumped me right off. And that caused me to seek God. The lightning rod of God's power. I began to pray. Help! You ever prayed those kind of prayers? Mayday! Mayday! God said, go to Oral Roberts University. Where is that? Oklahoma. I've never been to Oklahoma. I remember talking to my grandmother before she passed on. And you have to understand, she was an old lady even at that time. And she said, I hear you going to a new college. I said, Mama, I'm going out to Oklahoma. She said, Lord, have mercy. Why would you want to go to a foreign country like that? She didn't know Oklahoma was in the United States. Hallelujah. It seemed like a foreign country when I got out there. Different world, isn't it? Thank God I went there, though. Thank God I went there. Thank God at a particular time in my life, I went to Faith Christian Fellowship. Pastored by a guy named Buddy Harrison, who's with the Lord now. Thank God I was there. Thank God. I look back and there was points in my life where I was positioned in the right place. I could have missed it. Listen to me. Listen to me. Please listen to me. Your flesh will try to cause you to miss out on the miracles of God. Your flesh is lazy. Your flesh wants to feed self. Your flesh wants security. Your flesh really doesn't want to do the things of God. Doesn't want to participate in God's ways. Wants to battle you in your mind. Tithe? You don't hardly have enough money to tithe. Wait until your ship comes in, then you can tithe. That's flesh talking. That's flesh talking. Church, twice on Sunday? You miss your favorite show. I'm telling you. This woman came. Jesus heals. What? This, and this is all speculation, but something like this had to happen for even come. Well, maybe he could heal me. I've tried everything. How many years did it say? 12 years. I think I'll go. Well, I'm really not supposed to be there because in those days, a woman that had blood flowing out of her body was considered unclean and was not supposed to be in a public gathering like that, much less touch a rabbi. She presses in. Notice expectancy here. Notice anticipation. Look at it in verse 27. You ought to mark verse 27 and 28, put a star by them. These are powerful verses. When she heard of Jesus, you know you got to hear something, folks. She came in the press or the multitude behind and touched his garment. You know, it's one thing to come, it's another thing with the touch of faith. Are you sitting here tonight with the touch of faith, or are you just listening to me ramble? Did you know I can go into churches all over America, and some places I can feel that touch of faith coming out of the people, and other people, they're just sitting there, just wasting my time and theirs. And it's the same message. The touch of faith, verse 28. For she said, notice who's she saying it to? Evidently just to herself. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be what? Whole. I'm not going to turn there because I know it's so. I've already looked it up. But in the Amplified, brings out the original language. It says in verse 28, she kept on saying. It wasn't a one-time deal. She kept. What are you saying about your life? What do you keep on saying? Now, we all have little slips and, you know, we look back, I shouldn't have said that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what is the consistently coming out of your mouth. What are you prophesying about your future? Well, I'll never own a home. I'll probably never own a home. Things aren't going to get better. They're not going to get better. Lord, have mercy. It just seems like there's a curse on my life. I'll probably be like my mama. You know, my mama's on Valium. Those things are kind of in the genes, you know. They've discovered that now. It's all in the genes. What are you saying? What are you saying continually? One of the keys to expectancy is get hold of your tongue. Start saying what God wants about your future. I shall have a building. I'll have the money. The money will come into my hand. I'll get that building. And I'll launch out into what God's told me to do. I'll do it. I'm telling you, it's not just you conjuring it up. There's something from the Spirit of God put in you, and you need to learn to release it out of your mouth like a gun fires it out of the barrel. You're firing the power out of your mouth. She kept saying, verse 29, straightway the fountain of blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself, here comes discernment of the Spirit, that virtue had gone out of him, meaning healing power, turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, the disciples at this point were saying, you know, Jesus is getting tired. He needs a break. We can kind of read that between the lines. Who touched him? Everybody's bumping into Jesus, and they hear Jesus say, "Who touched me?" And you can kind of hear Peter like, okay, it's vacation time. We need to head back to the wilderness. This guy's had too long of a crusade here. And we see that because they have this discussion. Who touched me? Verse 31. His disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and why do you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Folks, there's a lot of people bumping into Jesus, but there's only a few with a touch of faith. There's a lot of people sitting in churches taking up space and time, but there's only a few sitting there with a touch of faith. And the same is true tonight. Are you one of the people with a touch of faith, or are you just sitting there going through a religious function? Verse 33, but the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter," circle this, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Everybody say her faith. Now let's put all this together, what we've been talking about. We've been talking about wisdom, standing daily at the gates, looking, expecting for wisdom. What is wisdom doing in God's way? Where is wisdom to be found? Wisdom is to be found in the house of God. Wisdom is to be found in the Word of God, around the right kind of companions. You find wisdom by being in the right place at the right time. Then you see a woman like this. You see Habakkuk. Then you see a woman like this pressing through the crowd. Pressing through the crowd with a touch of faith. And Jesus commends her and said, "Your faith made you whole." What does he mean by your faith? It's all encompassing. Your decision to come here, your decision to press through, your decision to grab hold of me, all of that is what got you to where you are now, woman. Man? Yeah. You think about that guy. Remember that guy let down through the roof? Remember that guy? Another interruption. Jesus is preaching his best sermon. And they have the audacity to rip the roof off and let this guy down. Remember that? You talk about positioning for a miracle. Jesus could have said, "Don't you know you're interrupting my sermon? I'm taping this for future posterity. It's one of my partner tapes. Don't interrupt me." Jesus just flowed with it. His faith made him whole. But it wasn't just his faith. He didn't let himself down. He had those friends who were with him, who brought him. However they did it, ropes, strings, let him down through the roof. Faith can always be seen. Now, I want us to go to another text. Go right next door. This will be our last text. Go to Mark 6. You learning something? Compare everything that I've talked about tonight to what we're about to read. This is the opposite end of the poll. Everybody say this verse. This passage is not me. Now, we need to read it to learn from it, but I just trust what we're about to read is not you, okay? But compare everything we just read about expectancy and anticipation, the atmosphere of faith, compare it to what we're about to read now. Mark 6, go to verse 1. And he went out from there and came into his own country. You ought to underline this. How many of you know it's a little bit harder in your own country, around your own relatives? How many of you know it's harder sometimes around your best friends and your relatives? Wait a minute. You go down there to that A-gap church? That's a cult. Don't tell me you're different. Wait a minute. I knew what you were like in high school. I know what you did at the prom. After the prom. See? So here comes Jesus. Verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And I want you to mark this. We've been talking about wisdom. And what wisdom, circle the word wisdom, because wisdom always goes with mighty works. What wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such, circle it, mighty works are wrought by his hands? Now, I want to hit this in passing, because it's not my intent to really teach specifically on wisdom tonight. But I will say this, most of the miracles you and I need are going to be wrought by the work of wisdom. That kind of went right over your head. It's coming right back around. It's a cruise missile. It's one of them smart bombs. It's going to get you. Most of the miracles that you need in life are going to be wrought by wisdom. Thank God for bailout miracles. I've needed a few of them over the years. And I probably will need some in the future. I like bailout miracles. Back against the wall, midnight hour, thank God, here comes the Lone Ranger, shows up with Tonto and delivers you. Amen. I'll take it, won't you? But God would rather us grow up so we don't get our back against the wall and the Lone Ranger and Tonto doesn't need to show up. He'd a whole lot rather for us to make right decisions, proper decisions, so that thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success. You do it yourself, obviously, with God in you, showing you to make the right moves. Hit that and run. Verse 3. Notice how they did not esteem. They didn't even look upon him really as a rabbi. They didn't look on him as a good teacher necessarily, much less the Son of Almighty God. Notice what they label him. He's just a carpenter. Why? I've got... my dining room set was made by Jesus. And it might have been. He had followed in his father's footsteps and been a carpenter for a while. Verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, Jude and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? Why, we know who he is. And circle this. Put a star by it, because this will inhibit faith to no end. And they were offended at him. Say it out loud. They were offended at him. Now leave the "at him" off and just say they were offended. Say it. Say it again. Got a kamikaze fly up here just attacking me. He's offended with me. And I'm offended with him. And I'm going to send him to fly heaven here in a minute. Where there is no resurrection. One of the things that will absolutely shut your faith down is for you to take an offense with other people. See, if I become offended with Robbie, or Robbie becomes offended with me, suddenly there is a wall, obviously, between us, but there's also a wall in the Spirit inhibiting the blessings and the miracles getting to me that God's endeavoring to get to me. My focus is no longer on anticipation and expectancy of God. I'm really not focused on my source anymore. I'm focused on this guy and whatever thing I think we've got between us. Or whatever he owes me, or I owe him, or whatever fictitious thing we think we owe one another, or he did to me. And I don't believe you can live in this world without having offense. But you don't have to let them stick. I'm going to say it again. You can't live in this world and be with people without having offense, but you don't have to let it stick. You need to learn to extinguish it as soon as you sense it. Did you know you've offended people this week and you didn't even know it? You said, I didn't know that. I told you you didn't know it. This happened to me not too long ago. I was at a church. Everywhere I go in church, somebody always comes up and says, can I ride in your airplane? Kind of like the circus has come to town or something, you know? And I know they don't mean anything by it. They just don't think, you know. Well, sure, let's just go out there and give the kiddies a ride, you know, after church. Fire that deal up and fly around and burn a couple $1,000 worth of gas. And so I'm running late. I'm late to this meeting. It started at 6, and I like to get there 20 minutes early to get my mic on or whatever I need to do. And I was running a little bit late, and I got to about 10 till, and so I'm coming down the hall, and I knew this couple. I mean, I know this couple. And so I felt that the way I answered them was sufficient because of our relationship. So I'm going down the hall, and they said, Can we have a ride in your airplane tomorrow? And looking back, I could have said it better. And I had to apologize. But it didn't even occur to me at the time. I didn't even realize that I offended them. I said, yeah, you and everybody else. Was that too direct? I know y'all have never done anything like that. And then I went on about my business and preached a fine message. But I discerned in the Spirit. Are you there? I discerned in the Spirit they were not receiving my message that night. Every time I'd look over there, she looked as mad as a... I don't know. What's mad? I mean, some kind of animal that's mad. A wet hen. A wet hen that had been plucked. Lord have mercy. So she came up afterwards, and she was shaking her hip. Jason Peebles, her husband was so mad, he wasn't even there. She was pushing that hip in and out. Jason Peebles, I am mad at you. And I felt like going, what is it all about? And I said, what's the problem? She said, what you said to me in the hall. Honestly, folks, at the time, she said, I didn't even remember the conversation. Have you ever had that? And my whole point is, you can be endeavoring to walk with Christ and offend someone and you don't even know you've done it. I said, what did I say? She said, we ask you to ride in your airplane. And I said, oh, okay. And I said, no. She said, no, you didn't say no. You said, yeah, you and everybody else or something like that. I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, I should have said it better. I said, to be honest with you, I was in a rush. I was focused on the meeting. I said, I don't give rides. She said, well, I feel like we know you a little bit better than everybody else. I said, but yeah, but you don't know me good enough to ride my airplane. No, I didn't say that. That would have got her hip going the other way. I said, and I'm not going to call her name, but I said, you know, I'm sorry. I said, I apologize. I said, looking back, I just didn't answer you in a very sensitive way. I didn't slow down on the hall. I said, will you forgive me? And so when something's brought to your attention, the best thing you can do is ask for forgiveness, humble yourself. Now, at that point, if they refuse to let it go, it's their problem. But your job is to forgive even as Christ has forgiven you. Your job is to humble yourself and take care of it as quick as you can. Now let's turn that around. Let's say that I'm in the place of that woman. Take an example. Jesse Duplantis comes to town. Jesse, can I ride in your airplane? Yeah, you and everybody else. All right, instead of taking the offense, and I'm not trying to put this person in a bad light, I'm just trying to go beyond. We need to grow so that we extinguish offenses. Jesse, could I ride in your airplane? Please? You and everybody else. At that point, if it hits me in the wrong way, a mature person or a person who's maturing in Christ would say, ooh, well, I just let it go in Jesus' name. I know he's busy. He's got a meeting to do. His mind's on his budget. His mind's on, he's away from his family. I let it go in the name of Jesus. Everybody say, I let it go. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say, I let it go. In Jesus' name. Now you got to get to that point. And husbands and wives, listen to me. This isn't just for out there. The place you're going to be offended normally is with people you know. You know, sometimes strangers that say something, who cares what a stranger says? Blow them off. You don't have to be a Christian for that. Huh? But it's when your wife or your husband or your children or your relatives say something, you better not let it stick. Now, what's the result? Let's look at this. How did it affect their ability to receive from Jesus? Did you hear me? How did it affect their ability to receive from Jesus? How will it affect your ability to receive from Jesus? Let's read it. Says verse 4, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor. I want you to circle the word honor. But in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. And he could there do. Circle the word there. Where is there? There is any place of offense. There is not necessarily a geographic location. There is a spiritual location. There where? There where the offense is. And he could there do no mighty work save that he laid hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. I'd take that. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, in Jesus' perspective, that wasn't really what he intended to do. That was just small potatoes. Oh, I just heal a few folks. Wow, that'd be a miracle ministry today. But in Jesus' day, who knows what he intended to do there, but it didn't happen because of their offense. Verse 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Notice he didn't get offended. Huh? He marveled because of their unbelief and went around the villages and teaching. And he goes on and gives the miracle power to his disciples. Now, I will tell you this, and then I want to give you five keys to write down. We're through basically studying in the Scriptures, but I want to give you five keys before you fold up your notebook and write this title down. These are five keys to develop expectancy and faith. Five keys that will help you develop expectancy and faith in your life, because we've been talking about expectancy creating the atmosphere for faith to work. But in my travels, and I'm not attempting to sound vain, I know there's the extreme where some guest speakers, they want to be pampered and treated like, you know, Queen of Sheba or something like that. That I don't believe in that. I mean, there's some guys that, you know, they have an arrogance and a pride about them. And I may be talking in a way that you're not even aware of, but in my circle that I walk in, there can be that extreme. The other extreme is where you're not honored as a guest speaker. I've always been honored here. I've always been treated royally here. It's one of the reasons I like to come back. You like to go back where you're treated nice. And I don't, typically, if I'm not treated nice, I don't go back unless Jesus tells me to go back. I mean, I'll go anywhere if Jesus tells me to go, right? But I'm not going to just lay down and be a doormat either for somebody. But I will tell you, as a guest speaker, and I'm sure Chris has seen this, and Pastor Mike and others that have gone out to minister, the level of expectancy and honor to the gift of God, not to the man, but to... they're seeing through your flesh and they're seeing the calling and the anointing in you. They're looking past your humanity and they're looking at the divinity in you. Are you there? Makes all the difference in the level of ministry that you can have. I recall one place that I went. I traveled across the United States, fought thunderstorm devils to get there, risked life and limb. Landed, the pastor had left the vehicle at the airport with the key under the mat, loaded myself up, drove to the church, walked in, sweating, I'm here. And the secretary said, may I help you? On Saturday. May I help you? I said, I'm Jason Peebles, your guest speaker for this weekend. Oh, is that this weekend? I could tell that all kind of prayer had gone into the event. Well, I'm not sure where Pastor is. I know there's exceptions to everything. But there was no prayer. There was no expectation. There was no preparation. You get there, they want to dedicate five babies before they introduce you. Anoint five elders. Do water baptism. And give announcements for an hour. Give you 15 minutes and wonder why he didn't raise the dead. Am I preaching right? Places I go where they honor the gift of God and they see through your humanity to the divinity. And I'm going somewhere with this. This isn't just for preachers, husbands and wives. Can you look through one another's flesh, failings and frailties and see the divinity in that person? The Holy Ghost in that person? The call of God in that person? Because if you can't, you're no better than what we just read. And you know, when people leave churches, normally it's because of exactly what I'm talking on. They're saying, the Lord leading me to go to another church. Let's just call it like it is. Your stinking flesh is leading you to go somewhere else. The Lord had led you to go anywhere. You got offended because you saw the guy clean earwax out of his ears. Or something stupid like that. Isn't that right? Guy's got a blemish on his face. Why? If a man of God was, if he was powerful, he wouldn't have no blemish on his face. Wake up and go study the mirror. And you will get a great revelation of humanity and divinity. no expectancy, taking an offense will absolutely block a person from receiving God's best, and if it's left unchecked, will lead them to a path that is outside of God's will. I'm not certainly not saying that God never leads people to go to another church. The Holy Spirit can, but it will always be done in a right and proper way. There will not be that offense of the flesh. There will not be gossip and tale-bearing and destruction in its wake. It will be something that is really wrought by the Spirit of God. But I would say the majority of people that say the Holy Spirit's leading me to go to another church, they just aren't facing up to it. It's their flesh and some offense that's leading them down the path and not God. Now here's these five things I want you to write down, and then we're going to bring the worship team up. Number one, the very first thing, if you want to develop expectancy in your life to a greater degree, number one, learn to dream with God. You need to learn to dream with God. What do we mean by dream with God? Well, go to God and ask God, God, what do you want? What am I here for? I mean, the basic questions. What's the next phase for my business? What's the next phase for my family? Lord, help me. Give me your dreams. I'm open. What do you want me to see? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to be? I'm your man. I'm your woman. Start dreaming with God. Don't just live on earthbound level. Get up into the heavenlies. How do I do that, Brother Jason? Study the Word. Pray. Stir up the gifts. Prophesy. Speak in tongues. Interpret those tongues. I mean, press into the Spirit and find out what God wants. Number two, learn to take faith steps. You know, expectancy doesn't just stop with the dreaming. Expectancy will get up and do something. Take faith steps. Well, I can't really afford the house that I would like. Well, go look at them. But I don't want to get my hopes up. Why not? Well, I expect it might not work out. Ooh, you better start expecting what God wants. I couldn't afford even to take the lessons to fly an airplane, but I went out and just looked at them. Sat in it. Smelled the leather. Couldn't even have children. I cut out a picture of a Gerber baby. Put it on our refrigerator. Thank God for a nice-looking Gerber baby. And I got two of them running around. Well, actually, they're bigger than Gerber babies. My boy's bigger than I am. Boy's got muscles. Hallelujah. Learn to take faith steps. Number three, guard the meditations of your heart. Guard the meditations of your heart. What do you think about a lot? What do you ponder a lot? And let me give you two sub-points here, A and B, to put down. A is God's Word, as we just mentioned, and B is those offenses. Guard against offenses. Keep yourself in the Word of God, and that's going to help you meditate on the right things. So young people come up all the time, well, can I go watch this movie? Can I go listen to that? Well, what do you want in life? What do you want in life? Do you want what you see on the screen, the silver screen? Or do you want what the Holy Ghost screen has? Number four. Guard the words of your mouth, she kept on saying. She kept on saying. She kept on saying. The prophet said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive fail, and the field shall yield no food, though the flocks be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon my... I got high places. He's going to help me to walk on my high places. You got your own, but I got mine. I will walk upon my high places. What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? Number five. And this may seem like an oddball one, but it'll make sense when I explain it. Be generous with your tithes and offerings. I hope this water's for me. If somebody else has drank out of it, I curse it all in Jesus' name and purify it. Number five, be generous with your tithes and offerings. Well, Jason, why would you even throw that one in there? That seems kind of like an oddball one. I'll tell you why. Because miracles are not going to regularly happen to stingy people. And it's not the money that buys a miracle. But in the act of giving, you declare dependency. There it is. Hear me now. In the act of giving, you declare dependency. You can tell me you love God all day long. I love God, I love God. I really love God. I love God. It's like that beer commercial. I love you, man. But you can't have my bud or whatever it is. I don't remember what it was. Christians all across America like that. I love God, but you can't have my money. You know, you can tell your wife you love her, and if you never give her anything or never let her spend some money, I just really wonder. And all the women said, yeah. All the men said, I thought I liked that guy until that. Now, if you don't have it, you don't have it. But I'm saying, you know, if you've got it to give and you don't ever share with somebody, you know, you tell them you love them all you want. That's just lip service. Mm-hmm. Be generous with your tithes and offerings. Generally, the last stronghold of a person's flesh is their stuff. It was with me. You know, when you lead a person in the sinner's prayer, you do not lead them in a confession to be a tither. Or I might not have prayed the prayer. You know? Come on, think back. When I first accepted Jesus, it was just, hallelujah, I'm forgiven, man. I'm on my way to heaven. God loves me and I love God. What's this stuff about giving? That kind of caught me by surprise a little bit later. Started bothering me. If you get bothered when somebody talks about tithes and offerings, you could have a devil. And I have been sent to challenge your flesh. You start squirming about giving, you could have a devil from hell. I didn't say you did, I said you could. Look at your neighbor and say, you could. Are you there? And it's a process. I will tell you, it's a process. You know, the Lord worked with me about tithes, and so you kind of try it out. Generally, you go through a phase. All right, I'll try it out. I'll just give a couple bucks. That ain't tithing. In fact, that ain't even tipping. Then you hear a little bit more, and you get mad at the preacher because he's reading out of that great Italian prophet Malachi about the windows of heaven. Well, he just spends too much time talking about giving. Why? Because you need it. You know, stubborn flesh don't want to give. That's why we spend so much time talking about it. And then it's like you love God. Okay, I'll give you my girlfriend. I'll go to the different school. I'll go to Africa. I'll go to Antarctica. Wherever you tell me to go, but just don't get my wallet, God. Okay, God, you can have my wallet. And man, when you break through that, God says, I got him. Got him, I got her, because that wallet stands for a whole lot more than just dollar bills. It stands for their hard work, their 40 hours, their 50 hours, wherever they work. I mean, that's their life. That represents their hard sweat, their work, their effort, their investments, whatever it is. That represents them. And they gave me that, I got them. It's not just something they said, I got them. And that creates an atmosphere for faith, miracles, as we've been talking. Because that's dependency on God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand up. Worship team, come on back. Father, we thank you for moving us up from glory to glory. Thank you for moving us up from glory to glory. Lift your hands and begin to thank God for a greater level of faith in your life. Begin to thank God for a greater atmosphere of expectancy in your life. I don't know what you're facing right now, but give to thank God for miracles. I don't know about you, man. I'm excited. I'm pumped for miracles. I thank God that we don't serve a dead God. He's not just sitting on a little statue holder. I mean, our God is alive and well. He's moving. Our God can give us miracles of all kinds. He can change the hardest heart. He can change your relatives that you think, man, that relative will never get saved. They can get saved. Amen. Oh, Billy Bob can get saved. Amen. Lead us in a song. Let's worship God. Let's lift our voices and let's worship God.
Jesus, draw me close.
Yes.
Close so much to Thee. Let the world around me fade away. Thank you.
Couple things that's running through my heart right now, I believe by the Spirit. And I want to open up this altar area again. We're going to sing through this several more times. Listen to me. If you need a breakthrough, maybe you feel like that prophet did. There's no hurt in the stalk. There's no fruit on the vine. Don't seem to be working out. You need to make that declaration. I'm still expecting miracles. I'm going to still rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to position myself. I want to do exactly what the song says. I want to walk close to God, even in the midst of adversity. I want to pray for those of you that need a breakthrough. We're going to open up this altar. And I want you to come up, stand up here as a group. And I'm going to pray a prayer of breakthrough over you. Let's sing it again. Lead us again. And I want you to step out and come. Join Chris and Heather up here and just stand up here. Believe God for miracles to break out in your life. Let's sing it. Thank you, God.
Jesus, love me, God.
Come on, there's a lot of things in here.
Lord, the Lord to me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let the world around me fade away.
Exactly what we just said with our mouth. We desire to worship and obey. And obey. And obey. Before I pray for you, I want to minister prophetically. And as I minister prophetically, if it's for you, just reach out and get it. It may not be for everybody, but reach out and get it if it's for you. I sense the Spirit of God saying that much of the confusion that's over your life right now, the cloud that seems to hang, the fog that seems to be there, you can't see your way clear. For some of you, it's a result of being in the wrong position. That is, you've been spending your time doing some of the wrong things. You've been watching too much television. You've been listening to the wrong music. You've been filling your brain with the wrong types of meditations. And you're wondering why you're confused. Well, there's no confusion to God. He looks down and He says, get rid of that junk. Quit reading those stupid books. Quit reading those magazines. Start filling yourself up with my thoughts and my words, and the fog will vaporize. The fog will lift. What you need to do, if that applies to you, you just need in the stillness of your heart right now, you just need to say, God, forgive me. I repent of that. Lord, I put other things above you. And I ask you to cleanse me right now. And he'll do it. It says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. That means he wipes it away as though it never had been. But you've got to do your part. You've got to express humility and ask God to cleanse you right now. I don't know what you've been doing or where you've been spending your time. Maybe just been, you know, a lot of stuff that's not necessarily bad, but it's just the cares of the world, just filling yourself with junk like everybody else does. Well, Brother Jason, I've got good magazines, yeah, but they don't glorify God. I just read books. I don't read really dirty books, just, you know, little romance novels. Get those things out of there and get romance with God. Fall in love with God again. Thank you, Jesus. Quit fantasizing about running off the Bahamas with some good-looking thing and start run off with God. Run off with God to the secret place. Lift your hands to God. I'm going to pray a prayer for breakthroughs. Father, I thank you right now for miracles being stirred up in this congregation. Lord, I believe that miracles are being birthed in my life, and I, as it were, I seed them. I seed them in the Spirit. I cast miracle seeds in the Spirit over them through my prayers and through my proclamations and my decrees right now. And I thank you for miracles in their families. I thank you for miracles in their individual lives. I thank you for breakthroughs coming forth. Father, I thank you for divine favor, like we read in Proverbs, that wisdom has the favor of the Lord in one hand. Lord, I thank you for favor with God and with man. I thank you for better jobs, better paying jobs. I thank you for meeting the right people at the right time, divine contacts coming their way. Not in another month, in this week, Lord, this week, breakthroughs and contacts coming to them. Lord, I thank you for doing deals with them and doing deals through them that brings money into their hands so they have enough to give to every good work. Lord, beyond just those things, Father, I thank you for families experiencing the joy of the Lord. I thank you for families living in peace instead of strife. I thank you for husbands and wives being in unity together and in oneness in the Spirit and peace being in their homes. I thank you for confusion going right now out of people's minds. People that have been on an emotional roller coaster, up and down, wondering where God is, wondering if they're doing the right thing. I thank you for the ray of sunshine breaking through those clouds. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I prophesy it, I proclaim it, I decree it in the Spirit. I seed them with the miracles of God, with the miracles and the breakthroughs of God. Now I want everybody to say this out loud. I will be as the woman in the Bible, pressing through the crowd, ignoring the circumstance. I'm going to get to Jesus. I have the touch of faith. I'm reaching out. I'll touch him. I'll touch him with my faith. And his miracle virtue will flow into my life. I say it with my mouth. I believe it with my heart. Miracles are coming my way. I declare and decree that I'm a miracle magnet. Miracles are attracted to me. The good things of God, breakthroughs, are coming my way. I'm a miracle magnet. I attract the things of God. I repel the devil's stuff. It can't stick on me. The devil's stuff doesn't belong to me. It'll go somewhere else. I'm surrounded by miracles. Breakthroughs are mine. This week, I'm expecting miracles. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'm looking for miracles. I'm going to position myself where wisdom is found. I'm going to stand at the gate of wisdom. And I'm looking for wisdom. And when I see wisdom, I'm going to introduce myself. I'm going to make a friend. Wisdom is my friend. Wisdom is my friend. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a shout and a praise and a hand clap for it. Thank you, Lord. 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 Let's sing that same song. I want to go back to that same song. That's the one, God, the same one we just were singing. Yeah. Now lift your hands and worship me. Lift your hands and release your faith to God. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let the world around me fade away.
Yes. Fade away.
Spirit of God saying something else. Some of you have been laboring under condemnation. The Lord says, I have forgiven you. I have seen your heart. Now forgive yourself and let it go. Move on. Quit hanging around it. Move on, says the Lord. The flesh wants to punish itself. Move on, says the Lord, and accept my forgiveness and go forward. Don't look back. Go forward, says the Spirit of God. Now that was for some of you. Reach out and get hold of it and refuse to let condemnation pull you down into its funnel anymore. And rise up in faith and go out with the confidence and expectancy of the Lord in your heart. Amen? Praise God. You may go back to your seats. You go back and say, thank God I'm expecting miracles.